The Gemara analyzes why Klal Yisrael, what sin were they guilty of? As a result, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed this gzeira of Haman. And the Gemara offers two basic mahalchim. One is Shenenu Misudasa Shalosa Rasha. And the question is, what's the Chumras HaDover here? And then the other option is Mipnei Shishtachvu Litzelen. So there's a lot of commentary on this sugya. I'm just going to focus on a few points. Rashi says Hishtachvu Litzelen Bimei Nebuchadnezzar. Tosfos in Ksuvos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis brings two opinions. One opinion is that Nebuchadnezzar set up a Tzelem, which was Avodah Zarah Mamish. Rabbeinu Tam is going to disagree, but before we get to Rabbeinu Tam, let's point out that according to this opinion in Tosfos, the chait of Klal Yisrael by bowing down to a Tzelem is what you call Avodah Zarah Mamish. And therefore, when Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says in our sugya that Chata Yisrael b'mesh yishtachlu lo b'chait shel Avodah Zarah, we understand Al Kain Nigzar Aleim Kloya. That was the severe violation. But Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says there was no Tzelem for Avodah Zarah, but rather it was an Andarta, some sort of a statue, Shel Nebuchadnezzar, V'yimishtachim lo l'chvodo Nimtza. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Avon Avodah Zarah k'shimishtachim lo Tzelem zeh. She'ein osim kena elo l'chvod ha'melech v'lo l'elohus. And this is what Rabbeinu Tam suggests, that when the Gemara says that Imrayu Malkim Uma'anim Es Chananya Mishol Vazari Mishtachvim Litzelem, if they would have been subject to torture, they would have bowed down to the Tzelem, because it's not Avodah Zarah. There was only a separate mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and they're willing to give themselves L'misa. And the reason for the Kiddush Hashem is because it would have been interpreted as if they were violating Avodah Zarah.
But they weren't.
But he says, Rabbeinu Tam, that if it would have been Avodah Zarah Mamish, then they would have been mechuyev to be Moser as Atzmam, even for Yisurim, even for torture. Logak al Misa. Like, for example, Rabbi Akiva, Sarkos Pesaro B'masreka Shel Barzel. Now, Tosfos brings a proof for Rabbeinu Tam. From the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim Adaf Nun Gimel Amid Beis Mipnei Ma Ro Chananya Mishol Vazar Shemasur Atzmam Al Kedush Hashem Lekiv Shana Eish Nasu Kal Vachom Biatzam Mitzvardim. Im Nomar Shaisav Vodazor Mamish, what is the Gemara asking? Ma Ro? It's a Chiyuv Gomer to be most in Nefesh Kiddush Hashem Yehorg Val Yavar in the case of Vodazor. There was no chiyuv technically of Mesiris Nefesh, but they derived it somehow from this Kal Vachomer from the Tzfaradim. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why were they subject to this gzera of Kloya at the time of Haman? If there was not a Avodah Zarah Mamish, what's it all about? So the Rishonim explained that they should have been Moser's Atzmam, Olive Roach, Kideshalo Yeroya, Keilu Mishtachvim Lavodah Zarah. In other words, even though it was a statue, it wasn't a god, a deity, it wasn't a Getchka, it was just Lavoda HaMelech that they bowed down, but nevertheless, the onlooker gets the impression that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, that they bowed to an idol. And that would be a Chil Shem Shamayim. And therefore, what Rashbi is saying to his Talmidim in our sugya is Hemlo Osu El Lifnim. In other words, they didn't really worship Avodah Zarah, but just it looks on the outside, externally, to the spectators, if they were Mishtachvel Avodah Zarah. And that's why Hashem at the end of the day saved them from the Gzera of Kloya. And he says the very fact that the Gemara calls it only external and that's why Hashem saved them, that indicates that Rabbeinu Tam is correct. This was not a Avodah Zarah mamish. It was only an Andarta L'chvod HaMelech. Now the Gemara asks Akasha here on Rav Shim Bar Yochai, V'chimasu ponim yesh bedovar. Is this favoritism that God spared the Jewish people after they worshipped an idol? So the Mefarshim want to know, why didn't the Gemara ask that Kasha on the first interpretation? Shenenu misudasa shalosu rosha. Here the Gemara doesn't ask V'chimasu ponim yesh bedovar. Now they sinned by being nenu misudasa. They need to be punished. If you're going to tell me they did tshuva and therefore they achieved kapara, you could say the same thing even according to Rav Shim Bar Yochai Shishtachvu Letzelem. Why is this question, this objection of kimas upon him yesh bedavar, raised against Rav Shim Bar Yochai's interpretation of Tzelem and not against the first interpretation of shekeinenu misudasa? So to answer this, he quotes a few svarim. The first sefer he quotes is the Ma'ore Ar. He says the following, that if the chait was shenenu misudas shel shorasha, then tshuva would be effective, and it could completely cleanse them of the sin. But if they sinned by worshipping an idol, that's a much more severe sin of avodah zarah and chil Hashem. And with regard to chil Hashem, there's a pasuk in Yeshayo, which is Gemara at the end of Yuma Darshins. It says in Yeshayo Anovi, Im yechupar ha'oven hazeh lachem ad temusun. And the Gemara says that for chil Hashem, it's not enough to do tshuva. You need yisurim, you need Yom HaKippurim, and only misa is memarekes. So they needed misa. And that's where the Gemara comes and asks, V'chimasu ponim yesh bedover, how can God spare them from misa when in the talich, in the kapara process, they really needed misa? Then he quotes a sefer called the Maimer Mordechai, who writes that all the averos, the Gemara always says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barov Chazdo, Mavir Avonos Rishon Rishon. And that means if there aren't averos ravos, meaning if there aren't more averos than mitzvahs, is then Einech Shavim, and Hashem is Maver Rishon Rishon. And that's a sugyan Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin. So if they were enemies, Sudas Shorosh Shorosh, we could say that Lo Hoylehem Rov Havonos, they didn't have such a massive amount of sins, and if Hashem didn't punish them, that's the principle of Maver Havonos Rishon Rishon. But if, according to Rav Shim Bar Yochai, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, which is so chomor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never is mata, he doesn't tilt the scale for chesed, but rather he punishes the people with the full brunt of the law. Then he quotes the tzlach of the Noad B'Yehuda, who's medayik from the Lashon of Rashi, that the Talmidim were not objecting, they were not raising a question on the very fact that the gzera was batel, but rather on the fact that the people of Israel was zochet to such a nes, to a miracle. The Talmidim knew that through tshuva they could be mevatel the gzera, but what was their zchus, their merit, to have a nes? And he says the following, Bishleim imachetoy v'meshenenu mi'sudos shalosu rosh, arei omru chazal, shemachshov v'tov ha'kodesh baruch mitzar falo ma'isa. Aval machshov ha'ro ein ha'kodesh baruch mitzar falo ma'isa. L'kach, k'sha'osu tshuva bilvad, מלבד מה שתקנו אס העבירה על ידי התשובה, יש להם יתרון, כיוון שהתשובה שעשו המחשבה שעולה בליבון לעשות תשובה, גם היא נחשבת להם לזכוס. So with regard to Maisim Tovim, we have a double zכוס. We have the zכוס of the Maisim Tovim, and we also have the zכוס of the machshava. And that's the principle of machshava tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa. So that extra schus of machshava, that was why there was zocha for a nes. But if the chait was ishtachvel avodah zarah, so with regard to avodah zarah, we have a principle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif machshava lemaisa. So even if they did tshuva and they were attacking the chait, they don't have a special schus, because even if you add the machshava of tshuva, but there was still a machshava avodah zarah, which itself is a sin. And finally here in the Sidra, he quotes a reach du doim, that on the chait of Nenu mina mishta motzonu she'osu tshuvas ha-mishkal she'kineged ha-oneg she'sanu mishta gozru tzom shloshes yamin. So we have something called tshuvas ha-mishkal. You familiar with that concept? Tshuvas ha-mishkal means if you benefited and you enjoyed the sin, then you have to do the opposite in order to do tshuva. So for example, you had some physical pleasure, they used to roll themselves in the snow to do tshuva. So the suffering would be a cancellation, would balance the pleasure that they got. And that would apply to Nenu Misudoso Shaloso Rosha, that they had a 3-day fast, and that 3-day fast would sort of be a tshuva samishkal to counterbalance whatever benefit, pleasure they got from the banquet. But with regarding to the Shtachavol Tzelem, we never found that they did tshuva samishkal on that chayt, and that's why the Gemara was objecting the chimas upon him yesh bidom. Now we're going to go back to our Gemara, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. I just want to tell you that he has here another bunch of discussions. He has a whole discussion here about Chur Karpas Uscheles. He has a whole discussion about Mitos Zav Kesef, and a discussion about whether or not most people drink more than they eat or eat more than they drink. So all these discussions are here.
It's a very profound discussion.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
There's a whole. I'll show
there's
you.
Another
when
one
we too. Finish today, I'll show you what I've
okay,
got.
You know, there's another one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, Rabbi. So where are we holding? Let's just get the place. We're up to Karpas. Okay, then. So let's see where it is. It's about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. The first word in the line is Hitzielahem. Okay, and what we learned about before is that Achashverosh spread on the floor some sort of milos levana, which is called semer dak v'noki, some very clean, white, you know, freshly laundered wool, and that was what they sat on. But now the pasuk goes on beyond chur is milos, into karpas. So what's karpas? Om Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina. Karpas, you split it into two, and you read it as kar, and then as pas. Now kar is a pillow, and pas is a very fine wool. So in addition to what he laid on the ground, on top of it he offered them pillows made of very fine wool. And in fact, the Ibn Ezra interprets that these were made of silk. Then it says Al Glile Kesef V'Amude Sheish Mitos Zohav V'Chesef. So we have here both silver and gold, and they both are used to describe the beds on which they ate. In the old days they used to recline on a kind of a couch when they ate. So what were these beds, these couches made of? Were they made of silver or were they made of gold? And the pasuk seems to indicate both. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer that Haroy Lekesef Kesef, Haroy Lezav Zav. It depends on who you were. And he offered different beds for different people. It's kind of like if you fly in a plane, so if you get an upgrade, and if you get first class, you know, they might put you in a bed, you know. So the Chshuvim, they put in a very beautiful golden bed. And the less chashuvim, they got a silver bed. Omram Nechemim Kain Atomatel Kino B'Seuda. If you can make this distinction between one person and the other, that's going to generate jealousy. And here the whole point was to get the whole community together to celebrate this occasion. Now, this is a difficult piece of Gemara, because before the Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Gemara said that there was a chatzer, there was a gina, and there was a bison. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon how choshev you are, that's where you got your seating arrangement. There we weren't worried about kino. All of a sudden, the Gemara here is raising the objection of kino. So the Marsha says that the areas in which they were seated were so separate, one from the other, that ein echad roes chavero. So there was no jealousy. But the beds were near each other in the same area, and therefore there was jealousy. Ella, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda backtracks now on this original statement of the Braisa, and he says that Haim shel kesef v'raglayim shel zav. It doesn't mean that there were two types of beds. There was a standard bed for everyone, but the bed itself was made of silver, and the legs of the bed were made of gold. So the Marsha adds a comment over here, and he says the following. that the beds themselves were covered with various kinds of matzaot, or how do you say that in English? Bed coverings. Bed sheets or something along that line. He says, but the raglayim, the legs of the bed were megulos. They're exposed and anyone could see them. So the part that was exposed, they made of gold. Those are the legs of the bed. Then the pasuk says, al ritzpas, the floor was made of bahat vashesh. So the Gemara wants to know, what does the word bahat mean? Omer of Asi, avanim shemischototos al ba'alehem. What we're talking about now are expensive and very rare stones. You know, today you can buy all sorts of shayish for the floor, correct? You know, Italian and Israeli, you have different. But this was a very expensive stone, and it's called mischototos. Mischototos means lechatet. Lechatet, which literally means to dig away, is a figurative way of expressing that you have to really find it. You have to dig and you have to seek it out. You know, you have to import it from the Far East, who knows what. And they would pay an extremely high price to get these precious and rare stones. And these were the stones that were used on the floor of the banquet hall. V'chenu Omer. And here he quotes a pasuk. If somebody could just tell me where this pasuk is, I don't
know.
Where is it?
Zechariah.
Oh. So Zechariah, if you remember, was the Navi who foretold the ultimate Geula. And a lot of his Nevuah is a description of the unique love or respect for Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael considered like something rare and something expensive. So he describes the nation of Israel amongst the other nations as Avnei Nezer, Misnosisos al Admoso. Misnosos means you have a lot of nisyonos, meaning a lot of challenges in order to find these special rare stones. You have to be machapes ledovar in order to find them, and that's what Klal Yisrael represents. There's another pshat here that says that misosos means like a light that shines, meaning that you have certain expensive stones that give off almost a shine to them. Then the pasuk continues and says, "Vidar v'solchares." The Gemara wants to know what is this all about. Rav Omar Dore Dore, which means shuros shuros. So we're talking about very expensive pearls, and there are two comments here. Some say that they were organized in rows, straight rows. Others say that they were in a circular form, because the word schores usually means around and around, schor schor. So imagine it was like a floor that was studded with pearls. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Yesh bekarche hayam, Evin Tova, there's some very rare stone that you'll have to go all the way to the seashore out there, and it's a rare stone that's called Dara, that's the name, Shma. And then Hoshiva Achashverosh placed this rare stone by Emtza in the middle of the banquet hall, in the place where they had the Suda, Umeiro Lehem Kitzarayim, and the Evan, this stone called the Dara, would light up the room as if it was the middle of the day. So the word socheres means a very intense light. Debe Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Shekara Dror L'chol Balei Schora. Now I'm not sure if Debe Rabbi Shmuel are interpreting this word Dora literally, or maybe they accept what we saw in the name of Shmuel, that Dora is a certain kind of a stone, or according to Rav, these were lines of stones. But Rabbi Shmuel is coming with a drasha, meaning that you can understand the Torah, the Tanakh, on two different levels, on the simple level of pshat, and now as a drush. And he's saying that the choice of the word dara is an indication of drar. Drar means when I free you from some sort of obligation. So what was the obligation? The Bali Schora, whenever they made profits, they had to pay a tax. They had to pay mam, or some other tax. And in honor of this great banquet that Ahasuerus hosted, he freed them from those taxes. Let's go on in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vashkos, he gave the people to drink the klei zahav in gold vessels, kelim and kelim shonim, the yein malchus rav ki adamelech, vashsiyah kidas ein ones, ki chen yisar amelech al kol rav beiso lasos kirtzon ish veish." So the next agadita that we're going to learn is to interpret this pasuk piece by piece. First piece, vakshos beklei zahav kelim kelim shonim. The Gemara wants to know, what does the word shonim mean in this context? And according to Digdug, the Gemara says that Hebrew grammar would have required a different conjugation. It should have said mishunim, meaning if the purpose of this pasuk is to tell us that there were many different categories or kinds of utensils that were used in the Suda, and each kli was unique and different from another, then it should have said mishunim iboile. Mishunim means one is different from the other, one is unique. So why does it say shonim? Amar Rava, yotza baskol v'amr lahem rishonim kolu mipnei kelim v'atem shonim bahem. So let's explain. The word shonim, as opposed to mishunim means different one from the other. Shonim means when you repeat something. That's why when we talk about reviewing something, we use the word shinun. And here the Megillah is using the word shinun because it was a repetition. And the Baskel comes down from Shemayim and basically declares to Achashverosh and his entourage that already Belshazzar before you made the same mistake, and you're repeating the same mistake. Belshazzar took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash at his banquet, and as a result he died that night. And now you're repeating the same sin? Now, did Achashverosh get the message? Well, it doesn't seem so, because we don't have any indication that at any point Achashverosh changed his mind and rescinded and took the kelim back. So I'm not sure when the Gemara says here in the name of Rava that there was a baskel. I don't know if this baskel was actually directed into the ears of Achashverosh, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just telling us that at this point, you know what? There's going to be a price to pay. That there's going to be a punishment meted out to Achashverosh, just like it was meted out to his predecessor Belshazzar for the same sin. And we all know that when the Korei HaMegillah gets this pasuk, Kelim v'Kelim Shonim, he recites it in a tune of Eicha, because these are the clay Migdash which Ahasuerus takes out of the treasury of the Nebuchadnezzar in order to celebrate this great occasion when the 70 years have passed by. V'yein Malchus Rav, the wine of the king was voluminous. There were tremendous volumes of wine. Now, what does the word Rav mean? In the next two words in the pasuk, it says Kiyad HaMelech. And the words Kiyad HaMelech indicate that there was a tremendous volume of wine being offered. So why did it have to say V'yein Malchus Rav? It could have just said V'yein Malchus Kiyad HaMelech. What's the extra word Rav? Amar Rav. Okay, so Rav is going to explain the word Rav. Rav means great. Melamed shekol echad v'echad hishko yayin shegadol heimenu b'shanim. Right, old wine is good wine. You have vintage wine. So he offered each person a vintage wine. One was greater than the other. So I'm not sure what the Gemara means when it says gadol heimenu b'shanim. Does it mean that
older wine?
Yeah, so but who's being offered the older wine? Is this one wine is older than the other? Are they all being offered all the wine?
This is saying that it means that they were older than the person. Each person was older.
That's
than
what I was thinking.
Age.
Right. That they, the wine would reflect the age of the person. So right. If you were a younger person, you got more fresh new wine, young wine. If you were an older person, you got.
But it was older than the older. Person who got it.
Gadol heimenu bishanim. In other words, it was even older than the person who received it.
In other words, an 80-year-old man got an 81-year-old bottle.
Right. A 20-year-old man only got a 21-year-old.
Right.
Tough times. Tough times. And this is a guy with only a malchut of 3 years on it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he inherited a pretty good wine cellar.
That's right. So
he
bought
it. It was plenty of wine. So this is called V'yein Malchus Rav. Just 1 second. V'yein Malchus Rav. He has here a note. He says that according to the Marsha, the Gemara's diuk is from the fact that it should have said V'yein Malchus Harve. And what does the word Rav mean? So Harbe would be volumes, and Rav would mean a great quality of wine, which in this case reflects the age of the wine. Now later on, remind me, we're going to have a discussion whether or not Achashverosh wanted to get everybody drunk, or on the contrary, he wanted to avoid people getting drunk. So hold on to that question for just a minute. Vashdiya kiddos. What does the word kiddos mean? The word das itself refers to a religious ceremony. My kiddos. Well, what does religion have to do with this? You know, this seems to be a totally secular party. Amar Rabbi Hanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, kiddos shel Torah. That the way that Achashverosh fed and gave drink to the people would be reflective of the Torah itself. And once again, we have to ask ourselves, was Achashverosh aware of this? Or this is just the baskol that's describing what was going on. Now, what is it about Dashel Torah? Ma Dashel Torah? Now, we're going back to the Mizbeach, and much of what we're going to learn today is reflective of the Mizbeach. Achila Meruba Mishasiya. What do we bring on the Mizbeach? So let's go to the easy part. The easy part is Shasiyah. Shasiyah is referring to Yayin for the libations, which is called Nisuch al Gabi HaMizbeach, Nisuch HaYayin. However, on the other side, we have something called Achilas Mizbeach. And what was Achilas Mizbeach comprised of? Number one, of Behemos. Number two, of Ophos. Number three, of Menachos. Of Soles. These are all edibles. And the edibles by far outweigh the volume of Shasiya, of the Niskei Yayin. It's Af Besudasa Shalosa Rosha, Achila Meruba Mishasiya. There was much more to be eaten than there was to drink. And here we get into this issue of whether or not Achashverosh wanted, with this volume of wine and the older wine and so forth, to get people drunk. So here we have a comment to the Marsha. The Marsha says, what's the chiddush here? You might think that since the pasuk describes this as a mishteh, the word mishteh comes from the lashon of shasiyah, of drink, then the indication would be that primarily what he offered them was shtiyah. It was just basically a wine party. Therefore, the Gemara now says kiddos, meaning adarab, there was more achila than there was for shasiyah. Says the Marsha, Hatam, Shehikvid Achashverosh Shalo Yishtu Harbe, Mishum Shoyesover Shalo Kach Nerag Belshazzar, Kevon Sheshosa Yoser Midai, Vishtaker Vieno. Now we're going to soon see that Vashti is going to contend against Achashverosh on this very point. But Achashverosh's impression was that Belshazzar's sin was that he got drunk. And once he got drunk, he lost it. And that's when Hashem meted out the punishment. So somehow, the drunken state of Belshazzar, according to Achashverosh's interpretation of history, was contributed into to his own downfall, his own death. And therefore, Achashverosh wanted to avoid a repetition of this situation of Ishtakus. This is very difficult, because what we just finished saying is that Achashverosh took out the kelim. He wasn't interested in that. Not only that, the whole story that we're about to learn is all about Achashverosh getting drunk. The pasuk itself says that he got drunk. So this is very interesting that Achashverosh didn't want too much drinking going on at this party. He says to Marsha, because he thought that the too much drinking at Belshazzar's party is what brought about the downfall of Belshazzar. So I don't know if you have any footnote on this, but This is what he quotes in the name of the Marsha.
That's quotes the same. This has this.
I would have said, you know, as a certain kind of variation of the Marsha, that maybe, as we discussed yesterday, Ahasuerus was a paranoid, right? According to some of Farshim, the celebration itself was because he put down a rebellion. He quotes the rebellion. So if that be the case, you know, the last thing he wants is for the people to get drunk. Because if everybody gets drunk, maybe they'll rise up with weapons and kill him or take over the Malchus. But that's not the Marsha per se. The Marsha says that it was because of Belshazzar.
But if you go according to Marsha, that also would imply that we probably shouldn't be getting drunk at our mishtez, because if he's doing it according to, because, you know, that's he's trying to you know, not get drunk because the, you know, doesn't want to because this is like how the kelim were used in the Beis HaMikdash, then why should we be getting drunk at our mishta? Because we're not supposed to either.
I guess it's something we have to discuss. I mean, we didn't even touch on the whole issue of that's going to come up later on in the Gemara, that you have to get drunk on Purim, and why that drinking doesn't endanger us, if that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. You know, a shtiyah shel mitzvah and so forth and so
that's
on. But if you ask me on a general rule, it's achila maruba mishasiyah, that our celebrations should be reflective, or should, in a sense, replicate what went on in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we should have achila maruba mishtiyah. You can add to that maybe the achila maruba mishtiyah will in some sense mitigate the influence of wine. Like, for example, my mother-in-law, after the war, was in France for 5 years. She said that at every meal there was wine, but then nobody ever got drunk because the wine was part of the meal. But in any event, the bottom line of this discussion is that Ahasuerus did not want the people to get drunk. Now, did he not want himself to get drunk? Well, that's a little bit of a problem, because he did get drunk. If he didn't want the people to get drunk, that would be my little change in what the Marsha is saying. Then it says, Ein Ones, as if to say there was no forcing, no compulsion. Omer Rabbi Lozar, Malamit Shekol Echad V'Echad Hishkou Miyein Midinoso. And the Marsha explains the following. If you came from a certain country, a certain Medina, then you were familiar with the wine, the local wine. This was before, you know, today you go into a wine store, you can buy wine from all over the world, but in those days you drank the local wine. And on the one hand, you could say that by offering each person, based on what Medina he came from the 127 provinces, offering his local wine, he would enjoy it more, because people enjoy what they used to. Now, I'll give you a great example. In our family, if you want to offer grape juice, you offer Kedem grape juice. Now, you offer an Israeli Kedem grape juice, and he literally despises it. Now, go figure that out. Why should a person, just because he's Israeli, want Israeli grape juice? We guys don't even tolerate Israeli grape juice. We want the Kedem grape juice. And it's amazing. But the second reason why he wanted to offer each person his own local wine, says the Marsha, is because when you're familiar with wine, you know exactly how much wine to drink and not to overdo it and get drunk. But if you offer wine from a different country and you're not familiar with it, you don't know how strong it is. Mm-hmm. What's the word? When you want to describe how much alcohol is in it. What's it called?
Proof.
What proof it is. So if you don't know what proof it is, and it doesn't say it on the label of the bottle, you might get drunk because, you know, it tastes really good. Just keep drinking away. But if you know the wine and you're familiar with it, it's your local wine, then you'll be able to control yourself. So this would, again, fit into the Marshal Shita that Ahasuerus didn't want drunkenness at the party. Lasos kirtzon ish v'ish. Now here the Gemara has the following diuk. It should have said, lasos kirtzon kol ish. In other words, he tried to satisfy each person. But instead it says, ish v'ish. And that's an unusual phrase. It's almost like separating one ish from another. Also, the word ish indicates a special person. Amar Rava, lasos kirtzon Mordechai v'haman. Each one of these two individuals is called an Ish. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi, the Ksiv Ish Yehudi. Haman is called Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Now this piece of Gemara opens up like a whole wound, so to speak, because was Mordechai really at the party? Now the Marsha says, if you look in the Targum of Megillah, it says explicitly that Mordechai did not show up at the party, which makes sense, unless he was there as the Mashgiach and trying to make sure that the Jews wouldn't overstep their bounds. But if you go with the Targum, Mordechai wasn't even over there. So the Marsha asks the obvious question, how can you say Lasos Kirtzon Ish V'Ish and refers to Mordechai, one of the Ish, if he wasn't even at the party? So he says the following, and this is a bit of a stretch. He says, Kirtzon Mordechai Pirusho Shalo Hechila V'Hishko Som Dvorim Asurim Elanosalim Ochel Kosher. The Mordechai, Kavanas Agmar LeMordechai, is Klal Yisrael was dependent on Mordechai, meaning Mordechai was the leader. He would establish the Badatz Hechsher or whatever it was in that time. And what it means is Kirtzon Mordechai, that Mordechai would be satisfied with the kashrus level that they were offering the Jewish people at this banquet. But it doesn't mean that Mordechai himself would actually have shown up at the banquet. Elanosalem Ochel Kosher. However, Kirtzon Haman means that he had a different set of culinary rules for the Goyim, and that was Kirtzon Haman. They had different food. They were eating the crabs and the lobsters or whatever they were eating, and the Jews were eating kosher food. So this is amazing. There used to be a, I don't want to say it out loud, but there used to be a kind of, it was called a village. I'm not going to tell you what we used to call it. We had another word, an adjective to describe it, because this was in the Catskill Mountains where the Jews went to vacate for vacation. And there were a lot of things going on there that weren't okay. I'm not going to describe some of the evening events that would take place during the summer in those places. So we had a different name for that village. But anyway, the village, whenever they publicized, their advertisements, they always said glatt kosher. So we used to say the following. We used to say the food is kosher, but the parties are not. That's what we used to add to this thing.
40 years ago, there was Grunbaum's bakery. There was a Grunbaum's bakery that wasn't kosher. They put a big sign. The Tabachnik's was there. Before, we were not a kosher Tabachnik. They wanted to get the Jews to come in, so a big sign. Coming soon from Grunbaum's, glatt kosher challah.
Glatt kosher challah.
So that's it.
So Achashverosh said that this banquet is glad kosher.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll soon see that not everything that went on there was so glad kosher. Right? Then it says, Gam Vashti Amalka Osasa Mishte Noshin Beis Hamalchus. Okay. Now, if you read this pasuk on a superficial level, before we get to the Gemara giving us an in-depth perspective on this pasuk, it sounds like Vashti threw a bash in a different area of the Beis HaMalchus. In other words, the men were separate from the women. But the Gemara says that that's not so. Why? Read the pasuk carefully. It doesn't say Beis HaNoshim. It says Beis HaMalchus. Now, if she had an area that was designated exclusively for the women folk, then it would have said Beis HaNoshim. The Megillah went out of its way to replace Beis HaNoshim with Beis HaMalchus to tell us what? Amar Rava, they were actually mixed, men and women together. And Shneem Lidvar Avera Niskavnu. In other words, Achashverosh and Vashti both had the same purpose in mind, that at this party, things would get carried away. So it's not the tznius of Vashti that the Noshim was separated in their own Beis HaNoshim, Mishtei Noshim Beis HaNoshim, but rather they all were together. And I'll read to you what Rashi says here. Rashi says, Oshiva is kulam biyachad, bitarovos, it's a mixture of men and women, bebeis hamalchus, kedeshe yavo lidei avera. So we get the implication here. This was going to be, if you want to use the word, a very fun party, if you know what I mean. V'hainu di'amri inshi Iu Bikari, the Isise, and here we turn to the Daf Yud Beis on Beis, Bibutzne. So this is an idiomatic phrase. There are different types of gourds or squash. There's something called kari, which is he translates as Duluim Gidolos, the very large pumpkins. And the women, Bibutzine, those are smaller kinds of pumpkins or gourds. But basically, they all belong to the same species. And the point is, they all had the same Avera in mind. Now, amongst the Mefarshim, some want to claim, this is based on a Tosus Shans, that she, Vashti, really had in mind to show up in front of the men in a very compromising presentation. At the end, you'll remember, the story was that she refused. And Chazal is going to say that the reason she refused is not because she didn't want to show up, but because of something that changed in her physical body. So it could be that what the Gemara means here by butzine is that Shneim l'dover echad is kav l'dvar vera, meaning that she would show off her physical beauty. By Yom Hashvi Kitov Lev Amelech Bayayin. Omar Allah, I'll read the whole pasuk. Omar Allah Avias Vashti Amalkol Lifnei Amelech Bekesem Alchus LaHaros LiAmim HaAmim Vasorim Es Yofyo Kitovas Marehi. So the Gemara wants to know what happened with this seven. What's the seventh day? Otu Ad Hashto, until this point, Lo Tayov Libe Bechamra. In other words, what do you mean Kitov Alevi Amelech Bayayin? He didn't have enough to drink during the first 6 days. So I'm also, even without blinking, if I wake you up in the middle of the night and I say Yom HaShvi, what does that automatically mean to you? Shabbos, correct? Omar Rava, Yom HaShvi, Shabbos Hoya. The intimation here, the allusion here in this pasuk is to Shabbos. That this was Shabbos. Now, why is it significant that this was Shabbos? So there are two answers to this question. The first answer is to indicate how Goyim observe a holiday or a banquet, and to contrast that with the way the Jews observe a holiday or a special Suda like on Shabbos. Yisrael ochlim v'shosim maschilim b'divrei Torah. What is a Suda lichvod Shabbos for a Jew? You start with Divrei Torah, you go on to sing Zmiros, you thank Hashem. Everything is done in a very warm and religious atmosphere for the sake of uplifting the Suda to the highest level. Ovdei kochavim, sha'ochlim v'shosim, Ein maschilin ela b'divrei tiflus. All they talk about are znus and avera. That's what they want to talk about. That's how they eat and drink at their mishnah, at their party. V'chein, and so happened, b'sudasa shel shorosh at the suda v'achashverosh. Once the people filled up their bellies with achilin shesia, they began to speak divrei tiflus, which means znus. And they started debating between most of the 127 provinces were made up of either Madayim, Mediates, or Parsiim, or Persians. These were the two countries that made this pluralistic society called Achashverosh. Halalu, let's say the Bnei Madai would say, Omrim, Medios knows. The most beautiful women in the world come from Madai. V'halolu omrim, but the Bnei Paras used to say, Parsios knows. We have the most beautiful women. So Amalem Achashverosh, Kli Shanimish Tamishbo, what I enjoy is my wife, Eino lo Madayai v'lo Parsi. She's not from this or for that. El Kazdi, she comes from the Kazdian. And she's a direct descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. And she's even more beautiful. And I'm going to prove it to you. He says, Ritzonchem l'rosa, do you want to see how beautiful it is? She is, and you'll see that she's more beautiful than the Persians and the Mediites. Amru lo in,
sure.
But only on one condition. We're going to agree, but bilvad shetia aruma, she has to show up naked. In other words, if she wears her clothing, well, you know, she's the queen, and therefore she's wearing the most beautiful, most expensive clothing. Of course she looks beautiful, right? But we want to see her real beauty. Now we have another interpretation of the word Shabbos. The word Shabbos, Yom HaShvi'i, is not coming to contrast Klal Yisrael and the way they celebrate a Mishteh with the Umos HaOlam, but rather to tell us why Vashti was killed on Shabbos. Why was the Gzeir Min HaShabbos, Gzeir Min HaShamayim, to humiliate her and force her to come naked on Shabbos? And that's called B'midah Shadu Modeid Ba Modedim Lo. This is called measure for a measure. Milamed Shahoisa Vashti Harsha, this evil, evil woman, Vashti, Mevi'a Bnos Yisrael, she would recruit the girls of Israel to serve her, Umafshitan Arumos, and she would humiliate them and cause anguish to them, V'osameen Malacha B'Shabbos, and she would force them to work on Shabbos. Hainu Deksiv, and this is based on the Pasuk, Achrei Advar Ma'ele, Kishoch Hamas Amelech Achashverosh, Zochras Vashti, V'esasher Asosaves Kolashen, V'esasher Nigzar Aleha. So if you look at the end of this Pasuk, V'esasher Asosa, in other words, what did she do? And then what she refused to show up at the party, but that's not V'esasher Asosa. But rather, the Eis Asher Asos is telling us something about Eis Asher Nigzar Aleha, meaning that what happens to her is a result of Eis Asher Asos. Keshem Shah Asos Libnos Yisrael, Kach Nigzar Aleha, that she would have to show up naked on Shabbos. And here we have a comment from the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. He says that the Gemara's diuk is from the pasuk Nigzar Aleha. Now, if it was Achashverosh's gzera that we're talking about, that she should be killed, well, first of all, Achashverosh hadn't yet come to any conclusion, and second of all, it wouldn't have said Nigzar Aleha, which said Shegazar Aleha. But Nigzar Aleha's mashma, says the Gaon, Min HaShemayim Nigzar Aleha. So it's not that Achashverosh commanded, but rather Hashem decreed that this is what should happen to her. And therefore, it's got to be an onish of midah keneged midah. What she did to the Jewish girls now is going to be done to her. She didn't want to show up naked as he had commanded her. Michdi, the Gemara says, why not? After all, she was interested in this. They both were hoping that this would get out of hand, so to speak. Is my time alone? I saw when she come. And here the Gemara has two versions as to what happened to her body. Omar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina Malamit Sheparcha Batzaras. She broke out in a kind of dermatological disease, and she was too embarrassed to show up. It would be absolutely repulsive. And Masnisa Tana, according to the Bryce's version, Bog Avriel V'Osala Zonov, and she had a tail. He says the following. Let's just look at the watch here. What time is it? Okay, we still have a little time. He quotes the Aruch under Zanav. Kol davar shu yeser she'ena kamidas chaveiro mishtana mikvo shim mibolam kari zanav. Anything that's larger in the physical body than what's normal for other people is called a zanav. So the word zanav is not literally to be taken as a tail. Lo asala gavriel zanav mamish. She didn't look like an animal. That would have been some sort of miraculous thing. Ella Kiara, she became repulsive in discussing al yidei nefichos ever me avireha. She had a swollen, one of the limbs of her body was blown up. And that's called the zanav. And if you look in Rabbeinu Bachai, who has a commentary on the Megillah, he says, v'hu yaseres basar, it's an extra flesh, shenase b'paneha, that somehow her face expanded, Lefi Shah, and that's why she was so embarrassed to show up. Now, he says that there's a chazal that says about Adam HaRishon that he was Nivra Im Zanav. He was actually created with a tail. Uvimena notzra Chava, and from this tail, Chava was born. So if that be the case, then the, you know, the Zanav somehow symbolically represents the female, and in this case, that's what Gavriel did for Vashti. The Gemara thinks that the double language here indicating the anger of Achashverosh has to be interpreted. It says number one, Vayiktsov, and then it says Chamaso Bara Bo. He got angry at Vashti, and his anger was burning up inside of him. Amai Dolkabe Kuliyad, the Gemara asks a very naive question. Why was he so angry at her? I mean, it's just because she refused to show up? No, it's much more profound than that. Omar Rava, Sheshulchale, she sent a message, a written note through the Sarisim to respond to Achashverosh's mandate. Bar Ahuryore Diava. Ahuryore are the stables. And she said that her father, Belshazzar, had stables, horse stables, and you, Achashverosh, were none other than the caretaker of these stables. You really have no relationship to Malchus whatsoever. You're just an uncouth, grubby young man. I don't know, I'm looking for the word in English. But the lowest of the low. And I'm going to show you the difference between my father and you. Abba, my father Belshazzar, lekavel alfa chamrashasi. Maybe this is an exaggeration. He at a mishta would drink enough wine that 1,000 people would have to drink that volume of wine for lo ravi, and he never got drunk. Again, Achashverosh accused him of getting drunk, so there were two interpretations of what happened at that party. But Vashti claimed that he never got drunk. Vahu gavra, she speaks to Achashverosh in third person. That person, ishtate bechamre. He got so drunk to the point that he's a shota. Shota means he has no control of his actions. That was the, as we would say, the makav patish. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Miyad v'chamoso barabo. At this point, he's angry, and now he has to figure out what to do. Vayomer melech hachamim yodei ha'itim ki chen dvar melech lefnei kol yodei dos v'din kidos ma'alasos b'malka vashti. So what does it mean? Vayomer HaMelech l'chachamim. Who are these chachamim? Man chachamim rabbanon. These were the chachmi Yisrael, the great wise giants and scholars of Israel. And they are called Yodei Ha'itim. Why are they called Yodei Ha'itim? Those who know the times. And we're not talking about the New York Times here. Sheyodim li'aber shonim u'likvoa chadoshim. They have an amazing understanding of the astronomical system, and they're able to determine the months and the years. And this, by the way, is a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk in Chumash says in Parshas Vaschanon, it says, "Ki hi chachmaschem ubinaschem li'eni ha'amim." The Gemara says in Shabbos, "Wa ezi chachma ubino li'eni ha'amim," that even the nations of the world were amazed at the Jewish genius. Hevi omer zechishuv tkufos umazolos, that they were able to figure out the different periods of time and the lunar calendar, the solar calendar, and so forth and so on. Today, I think you would say that Chochma Bina is computer knowledge. They say that Israel is one of, or maybe even the most advanced country in computers, because we're, at the end of the day, it's a Yiddish cup. Okay. Now, the Chachamim are in a real bind. Because Achashverosh turns to the Chacham, Amalahu Dainuhu Li. It's an amazing thing that Achashverosh is making a decision of such stupendous significance, and he turns to the Chacham. So the Chacham amongst themselves, Hechi Navid, how should we respond? This is a typical Mimanashach kind of thing. E Neymar Le, if we're going to say Ketola, have her killed. Lemachar pasuk lechamri. Tomorrow he's going to get sober again. Uboile minan, and he's going to demand that we return her, and we're going to be punished because we were guilty of causing her death. Name alei shvaka. If on the other hand we say leave her go, be mevater, as we say, don't punish her. Come mezalzel b'malchusa. That's really an insult to the king. You know, she's got to be punished. So what kind of punishment? So at this point, the Chachamim remove themselves from the issue. But they have to come up with a darn good excuse. Amrulo, so they say to Achashverosh, Miyom shecharev beis mikdoshenu v'galinim artzenu, we're like a driven leaf. You know, we have no calm, we have no security, we can't think straight. Nitla eitzah mimenu, we don't have the wise counsel that we once had. V'ein anu yodim lodun dinin nefashos, you're talking about a matter of life and death, it's a capital question. And that's not something that we can paskin, that we can give you a verdict. Therefore, they said, zil legabei amon u'moav. There are two nations, and go to the Chacham of those two nations, because these two nations have lived in relative security for a long period of time. This is like Switzerland, you know, we're the neutral people. The Yosvei Biduchtaihu, they are sitting in their places, you know, Amon u'Moav, and apparently they were amongst the 127 provinces, but they were in a state of Shalom v'Shalva. They were very secure and quiet, everything was going well, and Kechamer de Yosef al Durdaya, he gives they gave him the mashal of yayin. If you have wine that's sitting al Durdaya, meaning the sediments rise to the top of the wine over the course of years, and that separates the sediments from the wine. And basically, this is it's a vision of something that's very calm, cool, and collected, and therefore, go to the Chacham of Amon u'Moav, because Daitam Yusheva Salem, they could make the right verdict. Now, did Achashverosh do that or not? We're not sure. V'taima Omrule, in order to indicate this logic, they actually quoted a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. D'chsiv, it says in Yirmiyahu, Sha'anan Moav mina urav, v'shoket hu el shmarav, that Moav has been in a state of Sha'anananut, which means calm. Lo hurak mikliel kli, they were not poured from one, you know, from one barrel to another barrel, meaning they never went into golus. Pagolo holach al kain omad taimo bo. So the time of the ayin in this barrel that's been sitting there unmoved is the original, genuine, perfect time of yayin. The recho nomar, and has the smell of wine. So therefore, these are the chachamim that you should confer with and take counsel with. And therefore, when Achashverosh realized that the Chachmei Yisrael would remove themselves, they wouldn't give a psak miyad immediately, he turns to the Sarim, his close officers, and the Megillah gives us their names. Hakarove Love, who are in his inner circle of consultation, I guess you call it the security cabinet, Karshina, Shesar, Admosa, Tarshish. And the Gemara now is going to embark upon a drasha for each one of these names. Meaning, you and I would have said that these were Persian names, and the Gemaisa, you know, we don't have to analyze each word here and each name. But the Gemara thinks that if it's incorporated into Tanakh, then it has to be understood on a deeper level as symbolic of something. Omer Ablevi kol pasuk zeh, this entire pasuk, al shum karbonos nemar. Right, the opening word in this pasuk is ve'hakarov. The word hakarov is the root of the word karban, because the idea of a karban is to come close. Now, who's going to talk about karbanos? Each one of these words is going to indicate another dimension of the Beis HaMikdash and the Avodah. So the answer is, says Rashi, we're talking about the Malachi Asharis, who at this moment came in front of Almighty God with a claim of the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that God, you should have mercy on the people of Israel because they are makriv karbanos. And each one of these names is indicative of another dimension, another facet of the Avodas HaKarbanos. And the goal of the Malachi Asharis here was to get God to do nekama to Vashti, meaning to make sure that Vashti is killed. And that is for two reasons. Number one, because her forefathers, meaning her grandfather, was the one who had the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, and he undermined and completely vitiated the Avodas HaKarbonos. And number two, the hope was that if she, Vashti, would die, then her replacement would be much more sympathetic to the Jewish cause. Maybe the Malach HaShoyis were already expecting that Esther would become the Malcha, the Malcha Tachas Vashti. That I don't know. And now, which we'll pick up Mirzachem tomorrow, we're going to go through each one of these names and see how they indicate another dimension of the Karbonos. I would just ask you one favor, if somebody, or maybe Eric, you could help me here. In the next line of the Gemara, there's a word here that I didn't understand. I don't have access today to the translation. If you could tell me what the word Karim means.
Karim is
pillows?
Lambs? Karim b'nei shana. First.
Is that a biblical word, Karim?
I don't know. But it's lambs of the first year. So.
Right. I don't know. I don't remember seeing the word Karim. It threw me for a loop here. And finally, if you already have the art scroll open.
Yeah.
Do you see what says Tarshish b'shon v'yoshpeh?
Tarshish.
It's just another four lines down or so, lines down. Where is that from?
Shmot Kafchet.
Okay, good. So let me wish you all a great day, and thank you very much for making some progress.